You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Be advised, mature content ahead. This podcast is brought to you ad-free thanks to the Legion of Demons at patreon.com/notlp. If you like what you hear, there's much more at patreon.com/notlp. Join the Legion. That's patreon.com/notlp. And now the show.
How do you do?
Just a word of friendly warning. I think it will thrill you. It may shock you. It might even horrify you. So if any of you feel that you do not care to subject your nerves to such a strain, now is your chance to, we warn you.
Welcome to Night of the Living Podcast.
Hey.
We are doing a theme this month called Defuck. And it's movies that are just bizarre, strange, maybe a mess even.
Oh my gosh.
And we're kicking this off with, and this theme was inspired by our friend Zach telling us over and over again that we need to cover a movie called The Peanut Butter Solution, which is this
Yeah, he bullied us into doing it.
The Peanut Butter Solution is a bedtime story that the writer of the film told his kid, and it kept evolving, and it shows. And it's Canadian, 1985.
That's child abuse.
And they describe it as gentle horror.
Well,
yeah.
We'll talk about it, I guess.
But before that, thank you to our patrons for continuing to support the show.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you a whole ton. Kelly's working on new designs for merch.
And I am. I should have something to show the crew this week.
Ooh, I'm excited.
So I have 2 different ones. So we shall see. But yes, that's something to look forward to.
And we're doing a t-shirt and a mug is where we landed with our survey. Also, people who are still owed merch from the last campaign.
It's all packed up except for Brian's, and I just got your shirt size. So once I pack yours up, this will all go in the mail in the next few days.
That's amazing. It's happening, people.
I got to mail shit to Japan.
Yeah.
That stressed me out because they have a different addressing system. And I was like, woohoo, I'm just going to let the USPS person do that.
It'd be fine.
Yeah. But now you can say that you can put that on your resume that you can address things internationally.
Yeah, I can.
That's a skill.
We want to welcome Oscar Rodriguez to the fold, new patron.
Welcome.
Hey, thanks. Thanks very much, Oscar.
You are.
I love your wieners.
Your wieners are great.
We love your wiener.
If
you are a patron, patreon.com/notlp, Amy and Fozzie just did an Eyes on TV episode about Community.
Community! The best, like the most, the seriously the best written, performed show. Like, I mean, obviously there are, like as a sitcom, Cheers is like this thing, but Community is its own. And it's amazing and beautiful. So listen to me wax poetic with Fozzie.
Yeah, super special. And Dave has been in Maine. So we haven't done a Night of the Comic this week, but we'll be returning. And if you haven't seen we did a high production video for our last episode. If you haven't seen that, check it out.
Freddie spent days on it, and then he forced me to watch it, and it's really fun. Days on it. You did too.
It was an afternoon.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to say, and we will read the communique we received from you on the feedback show, Martin. But Martin wrote in to talk about my confusion, Freddie's confusion about the Books of Blood. It was mostly my confusion, but Freddie, you agreed, right? It was weird.
It is weird the way they kind of repackaged.
And Martin, thank you for that. Actually made me feel so much better because I was doubting my own memory and sensory perception, and you put my mind and my heart at ease. Thank you for
our listeners. They're sharp and they know their stuff.
Yeah, they are
really, really sharp. They keep us educated.
They're the best. They're the best listeners in podcastdom.
Mm-hmm. I know that to be true.
I do too. I've experienced other podcastums.
Yeah. Who's a good listener? Who's a good listener? Baby.
Listener baby status? The best baby.
The best baby.
Would it give you so many belly rubs?
Mm-hmm. I'll rub your belly.
And now we want to talk to you about MailChimp.
Yeah.
MailChimp. Well, just exporting our list for when we do our raffle later.
Don't look at the screen while Freddie is performing work. Let's just do our banter. What's up, guys? How are we all doing?
Good. I'm super good.
Yeah.
We've been doing a John Carpenter revisit weekend.
Ooh.
So we kicked off with Christine, which one of my very favorite Stephen King novels, and I posted about this on Facebook. I think it's one of the top three best adapted Stephen King novels, and watching it this time, I caught even more. I've seen that movie probably 20 times, but it's been a long time. It's been a long time. Oh, I got the song. That's not even a real song. Anyway, but
now you can write it.
I got so much more out of it this time, and like really a great insight into how you adapt a novel and change things that can be changed and make more sense visually. For the screen. And also I always obviously liked John Carpenter. I knew he was a good director, but watching these back to back and like seeing his specific style, he's so artistic. It's been real fun. So today we're going to try to get in The Fog and
that's my favorite,
and Escape from New York. We interrupted yesterday to do most of Jaws, but we kind of got sleepy.
Can we call him Johnny Carps? Can we do that?
I did. John J. Carps.
J. Carps. Johnny Carps. Cool. Christine, that's the one about the guy who has sex with the car, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well.
Or the car wants to have sex with him.
Well. Do it together.
Is it?
You don't know Christine? You never read Christine?
No, I'm fucking with you. I've seen it a couple times. Oh. And I didn't read it. Yeah, I read it years ago. But yeah.
I would have been surprised had you not.
I was just messing with you.
Well, I got you. You know, I'm very. You know how I am about Stephen King.
Very sensitive.
Kelly did not. Yes, and you.
He did not. He was like, we don't fuck around.
I wasn't improvising. I wasn't playing.
We don't fuck around with Uncle Steve.
You don't play around with Stephen.
No.
Oh, and speaking of Stephen King, did you see that tweet? He annihilated J.K. Rowling.
Yeah.
In response to her deleting hers.
So yeah. She posted something about how he's a great man.
I knew that. Yeah. She deleted that one. But then
because
he came back
responded
again
to her and said trans women are women.
I saw that.
Yeah. And then she deleted it.
And she deleted her original tweet.
That's it.
I saw that.
That's all that happened.
Oh, so there wasn't like he didn't come back with nice or something like that.
Noice. N-O-I-C-E.
Yeah.
He said noice.
Yeah, but I good on Uncle Stevie, you know.
He did a good thing.
I was curious because I know that they were kind of buddies, and Uncle Stevie is progressive and wonderful, and so I didn't think he wasn't going to come down on the right side, but I just was curious to see how do you
confront somebody that you have respect for or have had a friendly relationship and kind of gently nudge them in the right direction. I think that was a good thing. He's like, nope, shutting it down in a not a mean way, but just like, hey, by the way, you're very wrong.
Well, he didn't even, it wasn't even, that was just in response to someone pointing it out to him. So, you know, it was well handled.
Yeah.
And it was just plain funny, too.
Yeah,
that too. It's like, yes, trans woman or woman. He went straight to the point. He didn't like beat around the bush. He went straight for the kill. I'm just wondering what's going on with JK.
It is weird that she's doubled down on so many of these things.
Yeah.
She seems like she's doing it just because people are pushing back against her. Like, she's doing it just because people say she shouldn't.
Well, I'm not trying to take a stance necessarily, because this isn't even a stance, but I read her essay where she tries to explain her points, and unfortunately she really just, what she's saying is transphobic. I mean, there's not really a way to rationalize around that. Like, when you I really gave her I read the thing. Well, I didn't read the thing. Elise read the thing and broke it down for me. But
she gave you Cliff's notes.
But like, while I, while I was there, while it was happening. And she gave me the salient points, and it's just, it is. She's just like really on the wrong side of this, no matter how you really, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, all she had to do was not say anything.
Yeah.
She's like, but she's like, you know what?
Well, everyone seems to think that everyone needs to hear all of their opinions about everything all the time.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there is like a fine line there that I think she's going with the cultural appropriation angle on people who were born a different gender and now identify.
Sex. Born a different sex.
Born a different sex, sorry, but were assigned the wrong gender. That. I think her argument is saying
you're appropriating my experience as a female.
Right. Yeah. You haven't earned being a woman type of thing.
But I'm just curious, like, how does this affect her at all?
It does.
I don't know.
And she's just saying shit just to say shit. I don't understand it at all.
I mean, as hard as things have been for women throughout history, I think we could argue that for trans people, it's been worse.
A little bit different and way harder.
Okay. But it's that whataboutism. Like, what about my experience? Like,
oh, I hate what about. It is the thing that has become the bane of my informed life. Which is where I try to be informed about things.
Yeah. I can tell you I have shared a restroom with a trans woman.
And you didn't feel in danger at all?
I didn't get my mace out. In fact, we just peed and washed our hands.
Yeah.
And all was well. I've shared a bathroom with a man before, I didn't know.
You took a shot from a girl in the bathroom.
Well, yeah, ladies do that. When girls are drunk and like at a bar or something and you're in the bathroom, you're all best friends in that moment. And it happens a lot at Horror Hound.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like out at bars a lot, but you're all best friends, even though you've never met each other. And you're there to tell everybody they look pretty. And do you need a tampon? Or, hey, I have this flask full of something. Would you like a taste of it? And I'm drunk and I go, sure. It's a sisterhood.
Yeah.
It's funny because in the male bathroom,
the traveling bathroom,
it's a very tense situation in male bathrooms a lot of times.
Because somebody might look at your penis.
Exactly.
I don't know. I think there's some camaraderie sometimes. If someone farts real loud.
To a certain extent.
Yeah.
But I think a unifying thing in male bathrooms is farting.
Yeah.
Is the farting.
But for the most part.
And dick jokes. People want
to get in and out and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much.
I don't like anybody around when.
You're pooping.
Pee is coming out of me or poop is coming out of me.
What if they're both going
I don't care. I'll show them my dick. I don't care about that. I just, not while pee is coming out of
it. But guys who come in and say, water's cold, deep too. That old chestnut.
I am one of those people that can't poop in public. Although there are some places I am comfortable enough to do it. Disney World, there's a few bathrooms that work out nice for me.
Yeah.
The ones in the UK pavilion.
You know who loves bathroom shenanigans, Amy?
Who?
Kane Hodder.
Yeah? Why is that?
He loves to come in the bathroom and be like, oh, Jesus Christ, smells like shit in here. Whatever he said. He'll say, I think he goes and he's not even going. I think he goes in to put on a show.
Yeah.
He puts on a show.
A captive audience, right? Yeah.
Every place is a stage for him.
That's right. The world's a stage.
He's the Don Rickles of horror convention guests. Mm-hmm. He's a bathroom insult comedian by night.
He's like, is this
Jason
on?
By day?
He's a rowdy dude. Yeah.
I would just say, like, I'm happy to share a bathroom with anybody as long as I'm peeing. But if I have to go number two, it's a whole different ball game.
I was offered cocaine in a bathroom one time.
You were?
Recently?
That's never happened to me.
Yes.
Was this your bathroom, Freddie?
Was it a gay bar or was it my bathroom?
It can be both.
Yeah, it was the bathroom at my gay bar.
Yeah, it was actually at a gay bar, and I was just at the urinal, and there's only two of them, and some high guy, not high guy, but, you know, a guy that was high, he just sat up next to me, and we were both peeing, and he was like, "Hey, you want a bump?" I was like, at that point, I didn't even know what a bump was.
Were you like, you thought you wanted a fist bump?
You were like, "Yeah, hit the rock."
Maybe after we wash our hands.
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm good. And I tied it off real quick and left.
Tied it off. Why do I, if I can't help but feel, and I know this is the incorrect way to feel, but it's like, it's just confirming that I am not cool, that nobody has ever offered me cocaine in a bathroom.
You look like a cop.
Do I look like a narc?
Yeah.
Is that why?
Well, you go to more gay bars and you probably be offered a lot of cocaine.
Amy, we aged out of that. Like the people that we...
Even back then when I might have been cooler.
The people we hung out with, the bar we went to, those people could not afford cocaine.
That's true.
You're much more like people would probably smoke meth with you.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever offered me.
But you'd have to pitch in.
The only drug I've ever been offered is marijuana.
Really?
Nobody has ever offered me acid, mushrooms, meth, heroin. None of these things. I'm just not cool enough.
Nah, I'm sorry.
It's okay, Amy.
Dude, I guess I look like somebody's mom.
But people offered you weed.
Yeah.
So it's not that.
All kinds of moms smoke weed.
It's true now.
Anyway.
But you're a cool mom, Amy. It's cool.
Cool mom. Cool mom.
Yeah. Cool mom. Cool mom. Hey, it's cool mom. Like,
it's like, I don't mind that you guys drink as long as it's around me.
Yeah.
Just stay in the basement, okay? And you can have a few beers. Yeah.
You're here than on the streets.
Did you guys know that the new Unsolved Mysteries hit Netflix?
Yes.
Have you watched any of it? Yeah.
No.
I have.
But I started Burn Notice.
Oh!
Okay.
I understand that's a good show.
Kelly, I need you to explain what Burn Notice is because I've heard about it, but I have no idea what it's about.
It's like Suits.
Burn Notice is
like Franklin and Bash.
It beats the shit out of Suits.
Okay, well, hold the phone, but what is Suits about?
It's well, Suits is like Rizzoli and Isles. Or Council of Dads. Is any of these are ringing a bell for you?
It sounds like an SAT question, like, Suits is to Rizzoli and Isles as Burn Notice is to
they're all very derivative of Throb.
Is that real?
Kelly knows Throb.
Oh.
I'm going to be talking about Throb on Wednesday.
Okay. Are you really?
Okay, what?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Did you not know? You didn't. I thought that's why you brought it up.
No, that is
on TV.
Freaking weird, man.
Yeah. That's cuckoo.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so Kelly, what is Burn Notice about?
So Burn Notice, and it stars Jeffrey Donovan, who you would know from Blair Witch 2, Book of Shadows, but he's awesome as an adult person. our friend Bruce Campbell.
Our best friend.
And Gabrielle Anwar, who is gorgeous. Jeffrey Donovan plays a CIA spy who, in the middle of kind of his doing his job, gets what's called a burn notice, where they just like disavow him completely. He's cut off. They don't kill him, but he's just all his resources gone. His work history gone. Like he has nothing. And he ends up getting plopped in Miami with surveillance on him. And he has to rely on his old sort of spy buddy.
The original name of the Campbell. Show was Plopped in Miami.
Yeah. Plopped in Miami. And his girlfriend, who is sort of an ex-terrorist, or his ex-girlfriend, who's an ex-terrorist. And they kind of act as like these private investigators because he has no money and he's trying to find out who put this burn notice out on him at the same time. And then his mom is played by Sharon Gless and she's awesome. And it's just so good. And the action is so good. The direction, like, it's really tight writing. Everybody should fucking go watch Burn Notice.
Who watches
Burn Notice? Harris watches Burn Notice.
It's done, right?
Season, sorry. Yeah, 7 seasons.
Yeah, so I like
Bruce
that.
Campbell is awesome.
I've been hearing another show that is like recently deceased that we should watch is Psych.
I watched a few episodes of Psych. It is fun. I would have liked to have gone back and revisited that.
If we are talking about great shit that we've seen recently, watch Blindspotting on HBO. It's an awesome dark comedy. It's so good.
Which version of HBO? HBO Go?
Max.
Now.
I think it's just Max now, isn't it? Didn't they get rid of everything else?
I don't know.
It's on HBO Max. I know that. Blindspotting is awesome.
Is it the sequel to The Blind Spot?
No. What's The Blind Spot?
Sandra Bullock.
That's The Blind Side.
Blind Side. Yeah. My joke did not land at all.
God damn it, Andy, and you dragged me down with you.
It has this great sequence. It's like almost like a Drunk History, the way it's put together in the middle of the movie, explaining why the main character was in jail. It's an outsider from their group of friends who is telling the story of what landed the guy in jail, and it's just really, really funny. And it's also really intense and kind of scary and and unsettling. And it's real. It came out like over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. And it's about a police shooting. So it has like a real current events vibe to it.
Who's in it?
David Diggs, who we just saw in Hamilton last night.
Oh, Jefferson, right?
Played Jefferson. He and his buddy co-wrote it and co-directed it, I guess. And it's very, very, the comedy in it is like outstanding, really, really great comedy. And then the real tense moments are crazy. They'll make you bite your nails. And then it's just got a lot of heart too. It's just a really great movie.
Okay. It sounds great.
You should watch it. I said it was great.
I know.
I want to hear what you have to say about it.
I might say that I like it because I might watch it.
You should watch it.
I might.
Freddie like is chowing down on all the streaming options out there because you know he's working from home and it's a constant stream. And I'm over here like I've been rewatching Scrubs so I can listen to the Scrubs podcast that Zach Braff and Donald Faison are doing.
Honestly, a lot of times I'll have just the TV on in the background as a way of kind of filtering content during like if I'll be working and I won't really be watching. I'll have something on, and if it's something real good, I'll just stop it. And I'll come back to it when I'm not working and where I can really watch it. But I'll have like stuff, light stuff in the background. But Blindspotting is one of those movies. It deserves your undivided attention. It's really, really great.
Yeah, well, Scrubs was real good too.
It's true.
So yeah, that's what we're doing with our time.
Can I one real quick, one last thing?
Of course.
I watched Jaws on my big giant TV for the first time in like real high def.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like it's great. And like, it's, you've seen things with like high frame rate. You kind of know, how it's got that looks like live TV, or a
soapy,
a soap opera or a PBS show. And so watching an old movie that takes place in the past, but looks like that, and especially one you've seen so many times, like it's a very kind of off kilter, because it really does look like that. Like there are moments where it's like, holy shit, like when his raft washes up, I mean, it looks like I'm watching a raft wash up in front of me. And on the one hand, it's like, if you can kind of get yourself in the mindset of I'm there, then it's really cool. But then like my brain keeps trying to reconnect to like the way I know it, you know, and it's like,
there's that essence. There's like a dreamy quality to this, especially the 70s and 80s films. Like, I hate to say it because I always kind of poo poo the whole Christopher Nolan, I'll only shoot on film, but it really does make a difference. Like, well, you can emulate that look, but it's never quite the same. As video and film are just so different from one another.
Well,
and for them to come and when they do that and they come and they clean them up to where they're so pristine and they take kind of that soft warmth out of it that is part of the movies.
Frame rate up.
Yeah. So this is the newest. Is this the 45th anniversary that you're watching?
I don't know, but I don't think so, because I don't think it was in 4K, because it wasn't listed as I tried to find that because I thought it was released yesterday, and I was going to get that, but this didn't say UHD, which is usually what it'll come up.
Right. 4K. Where'd you watch it?
Prime.
And it was, they had the frame rate was increased on Prime.
Well, it was, I mean, everything in HD is a little faster, I think, than 24. I'm not exactly sure, but that's why it has that more live look.
Well, part of it, there's this weird thing that happens. This is such a nerdy conversation. I'm so
bored.
But like the definition and the frame rate are two different things. Like, and part of it is the TVs that upconvert.
Yeah.
Will create that weird look where it looks like a video instead of a film.
Right. Well, but that's why, like when they did The Hobbit in the high frame rate, that's why everybody thought it looked like it had that look.
Well, that's even more, the frame rate was even more like compounded the high definition thing, because the frame rate is really like how you're perceiving movement, and the high definition is how you're perceiving the sharpness of the image. And like, I don't know if they actually increased the frame rate on Jaws or not, because that, I don't even know how they would do that.
Well, I guess I don't know, but it looks cool and weird at the same time.
And I usually wouldn't care too much, but Jaws is like my absolute favorite movie of all time. So it actually means a lot to me if they tinker with it.
It's good. Like I said, if you watch it in the right, if you can keep your brain in like I'm there, then it's cool. But then when you start to look at it like, oh, this is my favorite movie and this is how I remember it, and it's also the 70s and these people are dead and they're not here right now, it's just a little off kilter, but it's still great, obviously.
So I have just one question, Kelly, about this. Yes. How did Mrs. Kittner look?
She looked alive, which I, you know, was amazing, because even at the time, and she was pissed.
Alive. Yeah.
I really
it's
felt alive. That slap.
Did her husband look less close to death?
No, more so.
Oh gosh. So the age difference is even more amplified.
I think he was already dead. I think she just propped him up against that car in the background.
So she had two funerals to go to that week, her husband's.
They did them together.
Yeah. Two for one.
Yeah.
All right.
It was very convenient.
Are we ready to move on, or are you Googling something about frame rate on Jaws?
We can move on.
You're probably so right. Freddy, yes. I don't really know what I'm talking about exactly, but it definitely, it just feels like it feels like the frame rate is faster, because that's some of that, like the way film used to be, it was all at 24 frames per second, I think. And now it's like, there's a lot of things are shot at like 30.
Yeah.
Or 60.
And yeah, they do the 60. It's so weird. I'm super, this is like a rabbit hole I'm going to have to go down later. Because I'm really, really interested. I'm going to have to watch Jaws again.
All right.
Going to have to watch Jaws again.
Oh no. Oh, that's the worst.
Hello, boys and girls. It's time for Straight to Video Russian Roulette.
Cold opener. You only have a few minutes to put all the pieces in place.
This is the best house on the market.
It just seems too good to be true.
What would happen in a horror movie now?
Everyone I care about ends up dead.
As if it wasn't bad enough that we're babysitting on Halloween.
That's what they were doing back there. Tests and shit.
The engine will not start in 17 out of 18 cases.
It's the Devil's Lake Impaler.
It's not over. He can still come back.
I'm pretty sure something bad happened here.
You don't understand! They're killing me!
Now! You okay? Picking up hitchhikers is dangerous business. It's how horror movies start.
It's like you're having a rough night.
It's 11 a.m.
Hi, I'm hunting a creature. Well, a man. Maybe you've seen him?
How are we gonna fix this?
I'd like to rent a wood chipper.
We are in a horror!
Nobody?
horror. Horror movie.
See the final girl, huh? That's cool.
What do you mean, what's happening in the movie? Just watch the movie!
So, Scare Package is a comedy, I think, first and foremost, even though obviously I say over and over again, this is a horror movie, it's a horror movie. But it's one of those meta kind of commentaries that have become so popular. But this one's really funny. It has some great moments in it. The stories are broken down. Hold on a second. I'm going to find real quick.
Well, you have your wraparound. I watched this with Freddie, and I'm going to help him out.
It's Chad's Rad's video.
Rad Chad's
Rad video. Chad's videos. Yeah, which is this guy who emulates Joe Bob Briggs pretty blatantly. He's the uniform in their video store is the bolo and everything. And he is his friend, I guess his friend, or this guy who's always in the store, keeps trying to get a job there. And instead he hires this guy named Han, who just kind of comes in and passes his test about horror movies. And then you get all these other stories throughout, which are essentially short films with no connection to one another. So besides Rad Chad's Horror Emporium, you get into the, let's see, what was the first one? Was Cold Open.
Yeah.
Where this is in the vein of like Cabin in the Woods, not nearly as sophisticated or polished as that movie. This is like a low budget film, but, in Cold Open, there's this character named Mike who his job is to make sure that victims kind of get where they're going, kind of like the Harbinger in Cabin in the Woods. And his best friend is the lady who comes in and saves people in the end of the movies. Is essentially like the two things, the cop or whoever ends up.
So it's like the coyote and the dog from Warner Brothers.
Yeah, kind of. So, but Mike wants to change jobs. He wants to be the character who saves people. And it's kind of, that's kind of the arc, is him trying to get out of the game of setting people up to die. Cause
that's
feels bad.
Fun thing.
It. Yeah. So that's a pretty fun concept. There is, let's see, what was the,
you don't have to do it in order.
Yeah. They don't have to be in order. There's Mister, which is, one that, that Segan did, Noah Segan wrote and directed this one and stars in it. And it's about a guy who ends up with this men's rights group, who turn out to be werewolves. And that was pretty cute. The jokes are pretty obvious. Like if you think about them, you know, the guys are tired of being told what to do and they're really like basically talking about being a dog. So that was pretty cute.
God, Freddy.
I know. There was Horror Hypothesis, which was the big finale story. So I'll hold off on that one. Prior to that, there's One Time in the Woods, which I think is my favorite. And I think the funniest of the group, where these two couples are out in the woods and this guy shows up and he's going to transform into something. But he basically turns into like this pile of sludge. And it just kind of escalates from there that some killer turns up. It just goes off the rails, but it's really funny. I almost don't want to give away too much.
Well, don't. You don't have to.
It sounds fun.
Yeah, and then Horror Hypothesis is the attempt to kind of tie the rest of those stories together. Another standout is So Much to Do, which this was probably the most artfully put together of all of them. The joke is in the title. I don't want to spoil what happens. Watching on Shudder.
Spoiling is part of it.
Yeah, it's spoiling.
Anyway.
No spoilers. No, that's spoilers. Right. That's part of the joke in that one. Yeah, I just, and Girls' Night Out of Body, is kind of a weirder one in the middle.
It wasn't my favorite.
I don't know. Check it out. Again,
it was very charming. It had actual laugh out loud moments.
Yeah.
You know, low budget, but well done. And I think as a horror fan, there's a lot to appreciate and get, you know, little winks and nods.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, the trailer said seven different cell phones. Were they shot on cell phones?
No, they were saying no cell service. That's the joke. You know, you never have cell service.
I think what you were seeing on the screen when Freddie was playing was a little lag time, and you might not have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Zero working cell phones is what it said.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was one of those, like, gimmick things where everything was shot on the cell phone.
No.
As far as I know, it wasn't. It could have been. It like I said, this is not a high budget film.
Yeah.
But you can tell it's one of those things where you're just like, you can tell everybody was having fun and everyone liked each other and were making something they cared about.
Well, I'm always happy to see Noah Segan.
Mm-hmm.
Zach Segan?
Noah.
Segan.
Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like seeing him. Like, is it really interesting to see him like age? Because we first saw him, he was like basically a kid.
Mm-hmm. Who is this? And
he was in Sick Girl. That was probably the first time I saw him in anything.
Wasn't he in Cabin in the Woods 2?
He was in, not Cabin in the Woods 2, but
Cabin Fever
2. Cabin Fever
2. That's what I meant.
He's best friends with Elijah Wood.
Is he the kid from Dead Girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's great. He's really good for the horror community.
I like that kid.
He works in some big budget, high profile stuff now, but he's never lost his connection to like the low budget horror community. And he really pulls a lot of people up.
I got you. I didn't know that was his name. Yeah. I like that guy too.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like it was a real meandering review. But I mean,
wow, dude, just you wait.
Yeah, wait till you get to the main attraction.
True.
But I just recommend Scare Package. I should have just said watch it because I don't want to ruin it by rehashing all the jokes and everything.
Yeah.
So none of these segments like overstay their welcome.
I mean, they're not. It's not like comedy gold, but for a horror fan and people who are in our community that understand the whole VHS obsession and the Joe Bob thing and understand how like interacting with someone who thinks they know everything about horror movies, like how grating that is sometimes, all of that's part of the stew of this movie. So for us, for this audience, you'll really like it, I think. But a mainstream audience, I don't think would enjoy this movie.
Yeah.
It's not for people.
It's not for you.
Just mainstream movies.
So if you're mainstream, just stay the fuck away.
But if you're listening to this show, you're probably
not. But if you're lame stream.
But yeah, if you're listening to us, you're cool.
You're cool. All right. Well, let's see who's going to watch the next one, shall
let's
we?
See.
We're going to start
it up.
With little baby Kel-Kel.
Mm-hmm.
Kel-Kel.
Little baby Kel-Kel.
Aww,
stuck so in a well.
Oh, little baby Kel-Kel is okay. It didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't pop the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, don't hurt the baby.
All right, Andy, you're up next. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
You're going to be watching Boner Jams 95.
Why 95?
It was a great year for Boner Jams.
I want the Kids Bops version instead.
Oh, God. Okay, Andy, your movie's on Amazon Prime. It's called Itsy Bitsy.
Oh, what a cute little title.
A family moves into a secluded mansion where they soon find themselves being targeted by an entity taking the form of a giant spider.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Yeah. It's,
If it's giant, then why is it called Itsy Bitsy?
Ironic. It's like a bald guy named Harry.
Starring in this movie, we've got Bruce Davison.
Oh, we just saw him on Star Trek and everything else.
Well, speaking of Star Trek, Denise Crosby is also in this.
Oh.
It's got people.
It's got people in it.
This sounds like a convention hookup movie.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe.
Definitely.
Bruce Davison was like, I was on that one episode of Enterprise.
He was also on Next Gen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I just imagine walking to a spider web and it triggered me.
Walking in the spider web. So it's just so gross.
Before we move into the main attraction, I want to do the MailChimp raffle so we don't forget. If you, if I select your name, how you sign up for this is sign up for our mailing list, notlp.com. Scroll down till you see the Dracula stamp, and sign up there. And we will pick a name randomly from that list for each theme we do, and you get to pick what we review for that episode.
For one of the weeks.
Yep. Were you about to say something, Andy?
No.
Oh, okay, cool. Number 57, Heinz 57. Let's see who.
Smack in the bottle, smack in the bottle. Ran on the 57.
Andy Ivins.
Oh, an Aussie.
Aussie Andy.
Down under.
Aussie Andy.
Yeah, so I will email you just in case you're not caught up on the show so you know. The theme is da fuck.
And that's the requirement, is that it be a movie that's like, huh?
Yeah.
Why?
You'll understand what we're looking for when you hear what we're about to talk about.
So there you go. We'll tell you what our other pick is at the end of the show. The main attraction.
Michael's a normal boy in an abnormal position.
He had a little accident.
You had yourself some sort of extraordinary fright.
Michael, where's your hair?
Bald. The proper medical term is harum scarum.
What a loony.
Now, he's got one hairy problem. And he's about to find a solution.
You can't just come into our house, can you?
Ghosts can go anywhere.
In the least likely place you'd think.
Here's old Charlie's recipe.
A jar of peanut butter.
Don't use too much of it or watch out.
But the peanut butter solution is just the beginning.
It's growing so fast.
Of an even bigger problem.
But Mr. Jingles, it's moving.
Human hair grows only half an inch a month. No more.
Now that's a head of hair. Well done, son.
I don't think it's natural, Dad.
It's the peanut butter solution.
This is a classroom, not a barbershop. A toast to this new hair. Long may it grow.
But if it doesn't stop growing, what will happen to Michael? It's a hair-raising, heartwarming comedy adventure for your whole family. See the peanut butter solution.
All righty.
I just want to say this trailer would have you believe that this is one of those 80s kids adventures that has a storyline that you can follow and a narrative that goes from one place to the other, and there's adventures and that's what you hear when you listen to that, and that's not what this movie is.
Lord, no,
it's in there. It's hidden somewhere in there, in little chunks and bursts.
Is it even a movie?
I felt like this actually really reminds me of the ABC Weekend Special.
Yes.
And I wondered if they actually had played this in parts on the ABC Weekend Special. I'll have to look that up, but it like an ABC Weekend Special gone horribly awry.
Well, I can tell you it was part of a series of movies that they made for, I guess, Canadian TV, or I don't know if they went to video or what, but, and Michael Rubo, the guy who directed it, did a couple of others for them as well. I remembered this as a book, but apparently the book was an adaptation of this movie. So I thought it was which makes it even stranger that they like novelized.
It
is,
isn't it? Because I thought I remember you saying that, I think that it was based on a kid's book. And I was watching it through that, and I was like, I bet that this makes more sense in the context of a book series.
Yeah, but it's not even. Yeah, it's the flipsies. Exactly. It's like, what?
Remember that series, The Wayside Elementary? Yeah.
Sideways Stories from Wayside School. Yeah, I love those books. Like
this could have been one of the stories from Wayside.
Don't you dare. No. Wayside, were amazing. Great fun. No.
Just the main idea of a kid losing his hair and putting a solution on it and it growing too fast. And if you just kept with that.
An evil man stealing it.
That could have been a Wayside Story. But when you throw in all
kids.
The slave labor.
Well, while we watch,
it gets kind of weird.
while we watched it, like, we would get back to a certain part and I was like, I can see the thread of a story between this part and then this part, like 25 minutes later, and then these three parts in succession here. Like, if you took those and squished them together,
it had a bad case of
connective tissue
of meanwhile in another movie, as MST3K yeah. would put it.
Also, the father is the most ineffectual character in all of movie history. He did nothing.
Did you recognize that actor?
No,
that's Michael Maybe. Hogan from Battlestar Galactica, the newer Battlestar.
Oh,
you got to picture him bald.
Well,
it didn't work for me either. He did the same thing to me, and I'm like, Freddie, it doesn't matter.
He's had a great career in TV.
He fucking didn't help his son.
Nope.
He didn't help his daughter wife and made her a slave.
Yep.
And a wife substitute. He didn't even provide for them. He didn't sell a single painting the whole movie.
Yeah.
And when he was offered a chance, he was like, nah.
That's a birthday present.
But that's sick. Yeah, $6,000 for the family playing tennis painting.
But yeah. He's like, that is a very special painting, not for sale.
Okay,
for
but sale. Here's the thing. I feel like a lot of these 80s kids movies, a lot of the dads were bumbling.
Yeah.
So well, he was beyond bumbling.
It kind of fits, but like you said, it was a fucked up version of an 80s kids movie.
Yeah, he was beyond bumbling. He was just a complete, like, he was harmful. He was harmful.
Little Susie was, she was like one of those super precocious children that behave like adults.
Dakota Fanning.
Yeah.
Freddie, you know that Reddit sub that on Reddit, it's like 13 or 30.
Yeah, I love that one. It's so funny.
Yeah. There's creepy.
There's a lot of kids that could fit into that subreddit where, like, are you an adult or a child?
Like orphan in the hair, you know?
It was so, like, these kids, like, their mom goes to Australia, apparently, because her dad died, and they're just falling apart.
This guy must have been, like, a Roald Dahl, C.S. Lewis, like, fan. He thought this was his, like, Willy Wonka or Lion, Witch in the Wardrobe, and he did not have what those dudes had.
Yeah.
Like, I can see this, like you said, Kelly, I can see this being, like, a guy is with his kid at night, and probably they're going through something similar. Mom's not around, or something's happened in their lives. So let me tell you, I'll just make up a story to make you feel better about, like, kids that are sort of in our position right now. And poor Michael and Susie, their mom's away, and then these crazy things happen because he's just making it up as he goes along. Right. Then you put it on fucking film.
Right. Then he's like, oh, I should write that. And he tells, I'll tell you what, that man tells his mother that he's been telling the kids this story, and she's like, oh, you should write that down.
Yeah.
You should write that down. You can make a kid's book.
And I'm not even sure it's the script's fault. I don't know if it's just like it should never have been committed to film.
It doesn't really have any like narrative connective tissue. It's a lot. It reminds me a lot of Troll 2.
Yeah.
In the way it's kind of thrown together.
Yeah.
You get Michael, who decides he's a nice enough kid. He gives some money to a homeless guy, and this is what gets the ball rolling.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he gives the money to this homeless guy, and then later this mansion in their neighborhood burns down, and this homeless guy and his girlfriend or whatever burn to death in the fire. So him and his buddy Connie, and he's laughing.
I have to bring up... Like Kelly said, this guy, the dad, was harmful.
Yeah.
The way he treated Connie was so awful.
I know. Connie just wanted a grape. And he was like, I guess.
Is this guy Do like, I have a choice? Borderline racist? What is happening?
He called Connie a human flea, implying that he's a parasite.
Which is also a weird, no, I'm sorry, listeners. That's a weird Canadian insult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a damn flea is what you are.
Weird neg.
Connie, you know Connie's not welcome here since he ate up all the kitchen chips.
But the scariest part of him calling him a human flea is like he would tell him this with a smile on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Connie's going to save your fucking son later, asshole. Because you were off painting families with tennis rackets in their hands and not selling
it. The
way
this guy handles the hair loss slash hair growth situation, he is a he is an active hindrance to the development of his children and their continued health and growth and emotional well-being.
So Michael and Connie decide
to go into the house.
This part is also a mess because it's like, whose idea is it? They go from like almost daring each other to go in there to it being that maybe someone's still alive in there to it being, don't go in there. That's a terrible idea. But it switches back and forth between the two of them until eventually Michael is like, screw it, I'm going up in the window.
And he hops in the window, but you don't see. All you see is his face screaming and then cut to the next scene.
House.
And his hair shooting out like he's been electrocuted.
Yeah.
And he falls down the ramp that I guess they used to get rid of all the debris out of the burned out building.
But in the end, his hair falls out and he wakes up bald.
Yeah, he has harem scarum.
Harem scarum.
Yeah, also known as the fright.
Was that the doctor's diagnosis?
The doctor said it was harem scarum.
Yeah.
Like he went to the doctor said it. So apparently it's a medical term.
Yeah.
What, Freddie, when you explained kind of what this grew out of and what Amy said about it not being committed film, I get it now because when I go to sleep at night, I have this ongoing sort of fantasy story that I tell myself.
Yeah.
Just to help me go to sleep. You know, it's just I have this imaginary world and characters, but it's all very loose and just, you know, it's all kind of cuckoo and
dreamy.
You can't really. Yeah. It would not make any sense to anyone but me.
You know what? There is some science, not to get into a serious conversation during the peanut butter solution, but there is some science that the less a bedtime story makes sense, the less it makes sense logically, the better it is to help kids and adults fall asleep.
Well, yeah, because you're not trapped in like thinking through anything. You're just letting it wash over you.
It's how my adventures go. Well, they're not my adventures.
There's a whole podcast that's just this guy. I think it's called Sleep With Me or something like that. But it's him telling these. He has this real monotonous voice, and it's him telling these nonsense stories that you can just kind of zone out to.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do with lore.
Yeah. Lore is good
for
sleeping.
They're not nonsense, though.
Yeah. But they're monotonous.
Well, it's just they're great. They just put you to sleep.
Yeah. It's got some good content. He does a good job.
So we find out that Michael has seen the deadlights. And
yeah, exactly. It did feel like that, didn't it?
But his hair fell out instead of turning white like it did for Henry Bowers. But so I got this far and Michael being a bitch about his bald head.
He says, I'm disgusting.
Like, oh, I get God. It would be creepy, but like, it's a little boy. It'd be different if it was a little girl.
But he started off with some pretty luxurious hair. Luxurious.
Like, they even try to give him a wig and he's being a little dick face about it. And it's like,
his sister mom's trying to help him. Yeah. And like, she's trying to come up with solutions that aren't peanut butter based.
It's funny. They had to hold him down physically and then throw the wig on him.
Yeah.
Like it was a trap.
It looks terrible, but when he sees it, he's like,
shut him up.
Yeah.
He loves it. He's like,
he's so thrilled with this ugly ass wig, but he has a dream. And in this dream, the dead folk the squatters that burned up in the house come to him in this dream. And the man he had given money to feels obligated to help him because he helped him out when he was.
And this is where I started falling asleep a little bit.
This was a dream. I thought it was real.
I mean, it turned out to be realish.
Yeah, it's dream real.
Yeah.
No, I thought he woke up in the middle of the night and went down to the kitchen.
Well, it could be argued either way. Like, if you look up all the books that were written about the peanut butter solution.
All of them?
I took it literally. Like these all are literal hobo ghosts.
Well, the ghosts appear to him one way or the other.
They went through, hit the cabinets, and were taking food. Like, why do ghosts need food?
So they give him the recipe for the peanut butter solution.
To help him grow his hair back. Because his hair's not growing back. Because he saw the deadlights.
Yeah. He really got the fucking hair scared out of him. That harem scarum, that was a bad case of it.
He tries it twice, right? Like, he tries the peanut butter the one time, and it doesn't work, and then he adds a whole bunch more peanut butter, even though they told him, don't do that.
Yeah. They specifically said, don't do that.
Yeah, and guess what happens?
Yeah, and in the meantime, these kids are going to school and taking this art class with the senor, mm-hmm.
Here's a different story.
Who hates imagination. Because most art teachers hate imagination.
And he has a very well-trained dog.
Yeah. Named James.
Is that the name of the dog? See, I was asleep for probably this middle part.
His dog's name was James, if I remember right.
Who names dog? Just name it's your dog, like that, Steve.
Yeah. And the dog, he makes the dog pose for the kids all the time. And they draw him. And if any of them bring elements into it that they're not seeing, he flips the fuck out. Also, he's got this weird backstory that he's been moved around from different schools. It smacks of the Vatican.
Yeah.
He is a pedo. He also tries to pick kids up in his van repeatedly. Mm-hmm. Repeatedly.
Well, in his defense,
kids.
He doesn't touch the kids. He just makes them work.
He abuses them in other ways.
He does. We don't know what all he does. He's got that vibe, man. And
smacks of the Vatican.
Really does.
Also, why is everybody's mom and dad a famous artist in this movie?
Yeah.
Michael and Connie's parents are both apparently all famous artists. is the leverage that Connie uses against the teacher.
Yeah.
Apparently. I guess. I mean, I don't know why it would matter if he came back to the class or not.
It's like a whole town where their major export is bad art.
Yeah, it is bad. When they said I could move that painting, I was like, to where? Like a motel? Who's buying that? A children's school? Like an elementary school?
That'd be horrifying if that was in your hotel room, that painting.
Which one? The one with the tennis?
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to go to bed.
Well, not your room, but like, you know, in the hallway, okay. the, you know, in the lobby.
Not on the ceiling above your bed.
the weird shit that he did was the stuff that should have been getting sold. And they're like, no, we want this goofy fucking street mural from like a park where like all the parents and families got together to raise money for it. And they painted this on the wall.
This one, it's called a bird wearing a suit. this one. Yeah.
Have you guys
this man
seen-
was a loser. No wonder they were so happy when the mom came home.
Yeah. Have you seen any of the last week tonights that John Oliver's been doing from quarantine? And this whole series, like, story and, like, investigation they did about the rats, the fucking rats.
The rat erotica.
The rat erotica paintings. Oh, God.
They're really great.
This kind of reminded me of that when I saw the bird in the suit.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it for you. Don't worry.
So there's also this whole sequence where Michael and Connie and Susie decide to go and buy nice brushes for their dad as a present. And I don't even know why this is in the movie.
Connie and the sister buy him a paintbrush to cheer him up because their son was kidnapped.
What?
Don't you remember this?
Wait, they... Oh, was it just Connie and Susie were buying a paintbrush for the dad? Is this after Michael was kidnapped?
Yeah, because that's when they figure out that they were making paintbrushes out of Michael's hair.
Yeah, they hook Michael up into some machine where they'd harvest his hair and turn it into magic paintbrushes that if you just touch a canvas, it'll make whatever you're imagining.
Well, and the senor also figures it out that his hair grows faster by feeding him yogurt.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. That's also really weird. Why
that
is it so
scene
weird?
Was
Andy?
So disturbing. Like an old man feeding a child yogurt is so messed up.
Once we got to the Temple of Doom, it became like we kept saying that this was like a David Lynch, Stanley Kubrick like collab where they tried to like do their version of Willy Wonka
without candy.
It's so weird.
Another thing about this movie is that time means nothing. Because
nothing means nothing.
Nothing means nothing.
Well, Michael gets kidnapped because his hair won't stop growing and he has this long, luxurious hair. And then the senor kidnaps him to make paintbrushes out of it. But he gets kidnapped and then you see the headlines that say 20 kids have been kidnapped. And then you see them in this factory making the paintbrushes. So I want to know how long time has elapsed before.
You think he got them all at once?
That's what it seems like. And he made this factory real quick.
He just bought out an orphanage.
So I sort of woke up at this point where the factory is, the kids are in the factory working on the, and Connie is just getting in there. Like, I saw the sugar trail part and then I fell back asleep again and then I woke up for this part. And then the end. And they're just a bunch of kids.
Yeah. And he paints the, we haven't got to the, he wants these brushes because since it's magical hair, they paint magical pictures that you can go into. It's like it's like Avatar. You can kind of go into them, and you know, remember how Avatar was? You could get up from your seat and go into it.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is like the guy who played the doctor, Harry Hill, in this also collaborated a lot with Cronenberg. Does this help it make more sense now?
Yeah, it's got that feel.
It's like a if Cronenberg made a kids movie.
Like I feel like if you had this child and he was constantly growing magical hair that creates magical paintbrushes that create magical paintings, that you could maybe discuss this as a team, father, child, the senor, and go, okay, you know, we don't have to enslave children to do this.
But he liked to enslave children because he had those urges.
Because he had been, it's Max of the Vatican.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just saying we didn't have to go straight to enslaving children, but we did.
And then wanted to.
Connie gets there, and he.
She wanted to.
His character then does one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever seen.
Oh my God! Why did this have to happen at all?
Where he's like, "I want you to be my father."
I thought you were going to talk about the
hair on the pubes.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Connie smears the peanut butter solution all over his pubis.
Okay.
To get pubic hair.
I forgot about that.
They made that a thing. That had to happen. We didn't. That didn't have to happen.
Well, here's the thing. We didn't need to see the pubes either.
No, we saw them. The pubes. You see them. Not on him. Not. Don't worry, listeners.
You see him coming out of the cuffs of his pants.
Oh, yeah. My God.
I don't know if that makes it better or
I
not.
I'm going to sleep for that part.
Oh, yeah.
Regardless, we saw child pubes.
It was just so unnecessary.
Do you feel like Industrial Light and Magic made those?
Well, then
I'm telling you, this whole movie smacks of the Vatican.
Do you think they were going to change the name from Industrial Light and Magic to Industrial Light, Magic, and Pubes?
And Pubes?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was such a good effect.
And I don't want to talk about child pubes too much. But
I also don't want to give them short shrift.
You're still well on this side of you're
okay.
You're still
I just
okay.
want to bring up the texture of these pubes. They're like
silky,
long and smooth like and silky.
Yeah.
It was like somebody took Taylor Swift's extensions and shoved them down Connie's pants.
Are they blonde?
Well, her brunette ones.
Ah, okay.
So I feel like you could have made a beautiful wig out of this. Child pubic hair. It's like a messed up version of the Gift of the Magi or something.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the hair from different parts of your body creates different types of paintings?
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Oh, that would be erotic art.
Yeah, like your magic pubic hair would create erotica.
But it's erotic children art.
Ah! Yeah.
Well, you gotta wait.
So the kids, they convince
you can't use pubes to make erotic art until
you're 18.
After you're 18.
They convinced the senor to paint the burned out mansion.
Well, this is after, again, I thought it was really weird that Connie
was like.
So I'm
coming back, Amy.
What?
I wanted to explain to you why that happens.
Okay.
He's tricking him.
No, I totally get it. It's just like it was creepy.
It was super creepy.
It was weird. This poor child actor was just given material that made me uncomfortable.
Oh yes. I get you.
Which,
yeah, it was
which in particular
weird.
Moment?
I don't know. It was just like
where he starts telling Signor he wants him to be his father and he'll be his son.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird and sad.
It just was weird.
But they convince him to paint the mansion. They're, you know, getting him to climb into the painting and hit the curse to be passed on to Signor because he gets the harem scarum and turns into Walter White.
Yes. Oh, it also reminds me of a John Waters movie around a lot of this part.
It does.
So the curse is pass-onable.
Oh, it's like the ring.
Yeah. It's exactly like the ring.
Yeah.
So. You watch the tape, you smear peanut butter on your head, and you die 7 days later. Mm-hmm. But you have long, beautiful hair.
Long, beautiful hair.
Here's some plot keywords from IMDb. I thought this was telling. Child kidnapping. Crying.
Crying.
Bald. Bald child. baldness.
Yeah. We know who likes this movie.
Ghost. Fright. Hair. Peanut butter. Secret ingredient.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, why do they need a tag for bald child? Are people looking up bald child movies?
There's specifically a tag in this 11-year-old.
Do you think it's because, like,
boy,
your daughter, wife,
it's sister, like an mom. It's like an FBI sting. If you click on these tags, and they'll come get your ass.
Precocious 10-year-old.
Canucksploitation.
Like, do you think maybe, like, bald child is a keyword because, like, your kid's going through chemo and they're...
Oh, Amy, you made it sad.
Oh, let's find a movie.
But she also legitimized it.
I tried.
Looking through a window.
The other option is horrifying.
Yeah.
Equally as horrifying.
Do you want to... You guys want to do a theme on looking through a window?
No.
How about falling from height?
Is fright one of the words?
Harum, yeah. Scarum.
Yeah. Flashlight. Duffel bag.
Okay.
Movies with duffel bags.
Drop it.
Oh, I love duffel bag movies.
We could shopping do Rambo, cart. We could do peanut butter solution.
Art class. We're doing art class this month. We're going to have to do that like 10 years from now. We're going to be like, well, we're doing art class movies.
we ran out of shit to
we're
talk.
We're doing
about.
Brother-sister relationship, father-son relationship, breakfast.
Father-daughter-wife relationship.
Movies with breakfast.
Toast. Wig.
That was, you know, I felt that scene where he's
dead
getting
flies.
His wig comes off at the soccer match because of the bully yeah. kid.
It looked like Jason Voorhees for a second.
Oh, that's one of the great gags in Scare Package, by the way.
Is there a reference to
if you're a fan of the Corey Feldman Friday the 13th, there's a great moment yeah. in Scare Package.
Yeah, all that wig glue and they pull it off and then he's just running and crying.
Well, the funniest thing is to me, like, they revealed him to be bald and everybody seems to know this song right away.
Yeah, what was it they said?
You're
the taunting.
You're dumb and bald. I don't remember.
Are you sure it wasn't Celine Dion performing that?
Oh, yes. She's we haven't
like,
talked about her
bam,
yet.
Bam, boom, flam, boom, bam, boom, bam, boom, flam, flim, flam. First English language recording my ass.
And she had two songs on this soundtrack, so she was killing it.
You know what? The songs felt like they were from a big 80s movie, though.
They did. The whole soundtrack did.
Yeah, it felt like Neverending Story or something.
Agree. I kept thinking the
Do they
same
think
thing.
That's what they were doing. Like, they were like, here's your Neverending Story, your Goonies, your...
Here's yeah. Quebec's answer to the Neverending Story. And the I thought yeah. of all of those. Yeah, I was like, oh, look, this is kind of like the shitty Goonies.
Ew.
Not just a clever name.
The shitty Goonies.
Is it any good?
Oh, look.
That movie stinks.
It's a really never-ending feeling story.
Oh, and Freddie showed us the video of Celine Dion's song to this movie.
Yeah,
she looks better now than the 80s were not kind to Celine Dion.
She had a hairline that was creeping down and then like a unibrow.
Yeah.
I mean,
Amy,
she was still cute, but
you know, Teresa Giudice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Teresa Giudice.
Yeah. She has that like that simian hairline.
Just Google or go to YouTube and type in Celine Dion peanut butter solution.
She's got a two head.
And there's
a
music video.
You have a 10 head when you have a big forehead. She got a two head.
So from a scale of 10 to two, she has a two.
Four is the normal, which, you know, normal is relative.
Well, that's not really halfway between.
I love Celine Dion.
But I'm saying it's less than a four.
She's a major talent.
She's got a powerful, she's got, her throat can really take a punch after she's worked it out all those years.
She can really sing. Even if it's like, bing, bang, boom, flash, bang, boom, bing, bam. That's a lot of what the song is.
It is. This was a...
It was laborious.
And then at the end, the mom came home and everything was cool.
And then what?
And the mom came home and everything was cool.
Everybody
was
happy.
They saved the Goondocks.
Yeah, they're happy. They're like, thank God. Do you know what it's been like here while you've been gone? I'm in your robe. What do you think that says? You better get in here and take care of this.
Wait till you see what they did to Connie.
Oh, they're going to have to shave him. And they're going to be like, what did you do?
Rub his feet and braid his hair at the same time.
Okay. Thanks, Zach.
And oh, and they almost, again, the fright, like, you don't find out exactly. I didn't know it was just going to be those two ghosts in the house that came to him. He handled it really well when they came into his house, but not so well in a place where you'd expect to see ghosts. And that's all it was. They keep because this a title of this movie was going to be The Fright.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and that's why they kept saying it over and over again. The Fright.
Okay, but The Fright doesn't seem like that bad of a punishment.
No.
All you do is go bald, right?
But it's like permanent, right? Unless you do the peanut butter solution.
He only gave it like 2 days. We don't know.
That's true.
But I think wig technology has come a long way since the 80s. So I feel being bald now is a lot less of a problem.
There's not as much of a stigma attached.
Yeah, you got like 7 Real Housewives of Atlanta selling wig lines. You'll be fine.
I'd love to see this kid in one of those.
Wait, I was asleep for a portion. Were the ghosts the ones both giving the fright and curing it?
Yes. Well,
the fright, they weren't deliberately giving the fright. They caught their ghosts.
Oh. Well, the Mary might have. How creepy was she when she was like, sometimes I'm nice.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'm mean. Like, again, I feel like this dude was super into like Roald Dahl, but like not good at doing that.
Makes me laugh.
Wouldn't it be great if Ozzy Osbourne had re-recorded Suicide Solution as Peanut Butter Solution for this movie?
Okay,
Skippy's fine, but Jif is quicker.
But we can say that this movie is very unforgettable, right?
Oh, definitely unforgettable. I've seen it twice now.
Yeah.
But so I was still a little confused the second time.
But it still does have a place in cinematic history as like an ultimate what the fuck movie, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's out there. It's on Tubi.
It's on a list with The Room, you know?
It's made it. Yeah, we brought up The Room, too. Yeah. It's like everything that we've said today is like if blogging blah, blah, blah made a kids movie.
Mm-hmm. This is what would happen. All right. Well, thanks so much, Canada.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
So did you have a front runner for next week's main attraction or no?
Oh, I came up with another suggestion to throw on the pile.
But if we haven't decided yet, I guess we'll just announce it somewhere else at some other time.
We'll just
because Amy had said earlier something about announcing what the next one was.
I thought we knew, but we don't. No, can do that after the show. But yeah, we'll let Andy know so he knows.
I
not
thought
to
we knew, but we don't. All right.
Okay. End of the show.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Do we have to say hello to our Beelzebubs?
That's right. These are our most generous patrons. Keep the show going for shizzle.
Beelzebub.
Ernie Perez.
Alice
Wallace.
Hi, Alice.
Hey, Amanda Galetko.
You got hair, probably.
Jeremy and Cassie.
Hey, peanut butter.
Peanut butter.
Mac Watts.
Peanut butter.
Blake Heath.
Peanut butter.
Tree and Alex McNulty.
Peanut butter.
The Tree and Alex McNulty solution.
Tree and Alex Penalty?
So we have to rub Tree and Alex on our scalps to grow our hair again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way.
Iona Goodwin.
Iona Great Watch!
Jeff Lancaster. Brandon and Emily.
Hey.
Hi.
Adam Ingram. Bill Chandler.
Hello, Bill.
Monica Monson.
Deck Yo. Girl. Deck Girl's cool.
Blaine Turner.
Peanut butter.
Dennis Kennedy.
Kennedy! Peanut and butter.
Kevin Corpy.
Yeah.
Peanut butter jelly.
Choosy moms choose Kevin Corpy.
That's what I've heard.
Choosy moms.
I hope I addressed that correctly, Kevin. We're going to find out. I had to fill out a customs form, too. I'm going to get that shit to Japan one way or the other.
Let's get this shit to Japan.
God damn it.
Just smear peanut butter on it.
Everybody likes peanut butter.
But don't use too much. Otherwise, you'll just end up with a bunch of pubes. Anything else, guys?
Nah, have a happy Sunday or whatever day it is when you're listening to this. Mm-hmm. Make it happy.
Make it happy.
Hope it is happy.
Find some happiness and joy. I'm going to go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. Well, good.
Rub it on my pubes.
Bye,
bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Frankenstein was wondering if he